amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
God's amazing love. He desires His children, His spiritual children, to grow up. Just as we as earthly parents, human parents, desire our children to grow up to be independent, to have godly character, to be able to take responsibility and eventually grow independent of ourselves. We don't look forward to that when they're very small. We're so protective and loving, and part of us wants to see them grow up, but the other part knows that someday they're going to leave us, and so they must be educated. They must have the a personality that is going to be acceptable by the world, have manners to mature in Christ, to have godly character, and to be emotionally stable and educated to support themselves. And so our Heavenly Father desires His children to grow up in Him. He calls us as little children, but eventually He's looking for godly character, and we do grow faith to faith. Line upon line, we are changed into His image and likeness as the restoration and the sanctification work of the Holy Spirit goes on in our lives. And we're to develop the fruits of the Spirit. Just as our early parents, we tend to pick up their characteristics, their ways, through what nationality, what culture, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, good points and bad points from our parents. So our Heavenly Father wants us to be like Him. And there is only one way that we can be like Him, and that's to abide in the vine. And the vine is the Lord Jesus Christ, to develop godly characteristics. And one of the characteristics or fruits of the Spirit is patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? Oh my, I think that's a mistake. I think that we're to develop it without praying for it. If you have prayed for it, have you found yourself not being able to move in traffic? Have you found yourself being ignored at a checkout counter? Have you found yourself waiting in endless lines, not getting the attention you need from your business associates? Disappointments, constant frustration, developing patience. Romans 5th chapter. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with Him, make us fit for Him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that He has already opened His door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always wanted and hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our life through the Holy Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, we see God's hand in our life. Not just coincidences. When you see yourself going through a difficult time and you know you're being pressed, because of our faith in God, we can trust that He's in it, that He is going to see us through it, that His grace is sufficient, and that out of the temptation, out of the trial, God is developing that godly character within us. So we see not just the problem, not just the circumstance, But we see that God is working all things together for the good for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. He can take the most difficult circumstance and mine gold out of it, the gold nuggets that are within us, but it takes the fiery trial. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. Have you waited and waited, believing and believing, and at the very last moment, God has been there? Yes, He is. He comes at about 11:59:30. That's right. Just before the last moment. And each time it's to build our faith, He will be there to praise Him in the midst of the situation. And when we go through, these trials, our faith grows because we can look back and see His faithfulness. In fact, it's really good to have a little journal and keep track of prayers that you have prayed and difficult times that you've been in, and then just write the date when that prayer was answered. And so when you're going through another difficult time or want to encourage the faith of another, you can share your journal with them and build their faith and build your own faith up. I know sometimes I've said to God, I just can't hang on any longer. This is just too much. And I really felt the Holy Spirit, Mary, you have 2 or 3 more inches to go. It's just as an athlete who's training for the Olympics. He has to push beyond the pain barrier. Each time he practices in endurance and he builds up his strength and he builds up his muscles and he has to keep pushing himself. The fight is against what he can do. It's not easy. When we watch a sporting event and someone who is very professional and wonderful, it's marvelous to see a professional performing at their top peak. There's an exhilaration, there's a thrill that's involved there, and sometimes we don't even understand why we're so excited about that, because something in us knows excellence, and excellence is God. Anything that's done beautifully, anything that's perfect, it's God-like, but it is not arrived at cheaply. It costs. Sometimes we see someone with a beautiful home and we might be envious or jealous, but we didn't see the hours that person might have worked in building that home, the years they saved for that home. We only see the end product. And many times when we're watching a performance, whether it's a tennis match or a ballerina, a stage presentation, it seems easy. Someone who is excellent in their profession makes it look easy. It's done with so little effort, but much effort has gone into it. Look at a ballerina's shoes, those that she practices in. Not the costume she's wearing on the stage. The athlete. Look at his old sneakers, not the one he's using when he's performing. How he's had to bring his body under subjection. Watched his diet. His sleep patterns. When other people his age might be out partying or doing something else, no. He knows he has to have his rest. He knows he has to eat properly. He knows he has to exercise. He can't get caught up in the things of this world. There is nothing that God has for us that's easy. His grace is easy. He gives His grace, His unmerited favor, to us out of His love. But to walk with God, it takes a single eye. I choose to follow You. And the Holy Spirit does the work of the sanctification of our lives, but we have to cooperate with the process and see that in our life, in the everyday circumstances of our life, in the nitty-gritty of life, in the frustrations, in the failures, in the disappointments, God is there. And He is more interested in how we are responding to those crises than He is in our success. because God is after godly character. And that is not arrived at cheaply, but through patience, long-suffering, tolerance. And out of that, a mature Christian is developed. All creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And this comes by abiding in the vine, in his presence, the fullness of joy. His word becomes flesh. His word becomes a reality in our life. And oh, the victory, and oh, the glory, and oh, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is nothing in this world that will match the prize that he has for his children. Reading from James, 5th chapter, 7th and 8th verse. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. And that's true, watching a farmer. I had a friend who farmed. And I was visiting him one day, and it seemed like it was snowing. And I said something derogatory, oh, it's snowing again. And he said, oh, never say that. And he told me how many feet of snow we need to get down to the very roots of the trees. As high as they were, the rain and the snow had to go down that deep. And he said, you will not see the results of this until August. And then if we do not have enough snow or rain, there'll be a drought. certainly affects what the farmer is growing. But if you're not a farmer, you don't understand those things. But the farmer sees beyond what he does with his natural eye. He sees into the future, knowing that if certain things do not happen, it's going to affect his crop. So he rejoices in the rain and in the snow, knowing that he's going to have a good harvest. And so, to be patient, to wait upon God, to pour praise upon our prayers, and thank God for the answer to our prayers through praise, watering them in expectant faith until we see the fruit. Impatience many times breeds anger. And we see in the life of Moses that because he did not speak to the rock as God told him to do, and the waters would have come forth for his people, but he struck the rock. And because of that, he did not enter into the land that God had for him, the land of milk and honey. Not being patient turns us over to the lusts of our own flesh. When we want something, we want it immediately. And David desired Bathsheba. And so he had her husband killed. He was not allowed to build the temple. He could only provide the money, the gold, those things that would build the temple. But he was not allowed to himself because he had shed innocent blood, because of his passion, because of his impatience. I want it when I want it now, and I don't care if this beautiful woman belongs to someone else. To be patient, to wait upon God for the desires of your heart. God's ways are not our ways, but he is always on time. He is generous. He knows what we need, and he will provide for our needs. Waiting on God for that special relationship in your life. And sometimes we settle for less than the best, less than God has for us. He has that wife, he has that husband. But because of loneliness, many times God's children enter a relationship that he has not chosen, and broken hearts are the result of that. Wounded children. Oh, to wait upon him and have God's best in our life, whether it be a job, whether it be a spouse, whether it be a ministry, whether it be a home, whatever. To seek God first, that's what the Word tells us. To delight ourselves in the Lord, and he shall give us the desires of our heart. To be patient, and to believe the Father loves you so much that he did send his Son to die for you, and if he was willing to do that, surely he knows your heart. History has been changed because of man's impatience, or not really believing God, not waiting upon him. Even in impossible circumstances in the natural. But God's word is true, and when he promises you something, they are yea and amen. They will come to pass. Reading from Genesis 15th chapter. Afterwards, Jehovah spoke to Abram in a vision, and this is what he told him. Don't be fearful, Abram, for I will defend you and I will give you great blessings. But Abram replied, O Lord Jehovah, what good are all your blessings when I have no son? For without a son, some other member of my own household will inherit all my wealth. Then Jehovah told him, no one else will be your heir, for you will have a son to inherit everything you own. Then God brought Abram outside beneath the nighttime sky and told him, look up into heaven and count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be like that. Too many to count, and Abram believed God, that God considered him righteous on account of his faith. In chapter 16 of Genesis, we see that Sarah is very concerned because there is no child. They have no one to give their inheritance to. So she suggests to Abram that he sleep with her handmaiden, Hagar. And Hagar brings forth a son, Ishmael. Genesis 17th chapter, 15th verse. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but you shall call her Sarah. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who was 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." Chapter 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advancing in age. Sarah was past childbearing, and Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old? Old also." And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.'" Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh."
Land and a barren wife made Abraham laugh at his wandering life. A cruel joke it seemed then to call him the father of nations. A heavenly prank, a celestial joke, 'cause gray hair and babies leave no room for hope. But hoping was something this hopeless old man learned to do. They called him Laughter, for he came after the father had made an impossible promise come true. The birth of a baby to a hopeless old lady. So they called him Laughter, 'cause no other name would do. In the darkness and laughter at night, an elderly couple sit holding him tight. An improbable infant, a punchline, a promise come true. They laughed till they wept, then they laughed at their tears. This miracle baby they'd wanted for years would make a Messiah who'd give us impossible joy. They called him Laughter, for he came after the father had made an impossible promise come true. The birth of a baby to a hopeless old lady. So they called him Laughter, for no other name would do. They called him
Genesis chapter 21. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time, of which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God commanded him to. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yes, I have borne him a son in his old age. Oh God, what a miraculous God we serve, that all things are possible. What plans he has for those that love him. Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac was born Jacob, and to Jacob, Judah, and his brothers. Isaac in the genealogy of Jesus. What an honor, what a call. What has God promised you? And you might say, oh, I'm too old for this to come to pass. The dream that God gave me, the vision, it's been a long time. Surely it has passed me by. The Word tells us to be not weary of in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Without a vision, my people perish. Whatever dream, whatever word, whatever vision God has given you, you might feel like you're 99. You might feel the season of His Word has passed you by. Hold on to His Word. Pursue Him. Wait upon Him. He is faithful, and He will bring to pass that which He has promised. Don't go by the natural circumstance. God delights in the weak things of the world. He's glorified in the weak things. It would have been nothing if Sarah was of childbearing age. It wouldn't have been a miracle. But because of her age, God was glorified. Impossible with man, but possible with God. Hold on to the dream. Hold on to the vision. Have patience. And wait on Him and see the glory and the miracle. God loves you. Yes, He does.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.